Many of these diaries are preserved from the 7th century on, although they're often in fragments. The Persians, who succeeded the Babylonians, picked up this interest in astronomy and expanded it. And it was the Persians who came into contact with the Greeks that really revealed Babylonian astronomy to the Western Mediterranean. The Babylonians, through this observation of the sky, created a lunar calendar. But it was a lunar calendar that was based on a 19-year interval. So for 12 years, there would be 12-month years. And then for 7 years, there would be 13-month years. So it would create a 19-year calendar that was made up of 235 months. And this would help resolve the issues with a lunar calendar and the intercalary months that are needed when one follows the moon instead of a solar calendar. Some of the observations that survive are focused on the appearance of a new moon. All of these observations have as the first part of the formula, when the moon appears on the first day, there will be silence, the land will be satisfied. But the second part has many variants. Some of these are, when the day is long, according to its calculation, there will be a long rain. When the moon is relatively full, the crops of the land will prosper. The king will go to preeminence. Or, there will be an overthrowing of fortresses and the downfall of garrisons. There will be obedience and goodwill in the land. Other lunar observations state that when a halo surrounds the moon and Scorpio stands in it, it will cause men to marry princesses. Or lions will die, and the traffic of the land will be hindered. So you can see there's quite a bit of wiggle room for these diviners and their predictions of the future. You can marry a princess or a lion will die somewhere. Natural phenomena were especially troubling. When the earth quakes, the king's land will revolt from him. Or when the earth quakes during the night, harm will come to the land, or devastation to the land. Long lists of these descriptions and the interpretations exist to help future diviners understand the meaning of what they see. So this really provides a background for the field of divination that we don't have for medicine or even mathematics. It also provides a sort of history. We can't always correlate a specific observation with a specific king, but we see that there's a strong interest in the past and what events were most momentous and how those events might reoccur in the future. One of the most valuable achievements in astronomy could have been the ability to predict eclipses. The records of these eclipses are what we use to help establish a chronology for Mesopotamian history based on the date of the eclipse. So modern astronomers have been able to connect certain dates recorded in the Babylonian diaries and other astronomical texts with known eclipses. Unfortunately, there are three possible years for most of these events, so we remain uncertain about the exact year in which a specific event occurred. And this is one of the reasons why we have three different chronologies. And I mentioned this in an earlier lecture, that there's a high chronology, a middle chronology, and a low chronology. And the framework of those chronologies is based on the different dates for the eclipses. Much of the evidence for Mesopotamian scientific thought and literature was found in the library of the 7th century BC Assyrian ruler Assurbanipal at Nineveh. Over 25,000 tablets were found in the palace of Assurbanipal, and about half of these were scientific or literary compositions. So they form the bulk of the evidence from which we derive our knowledge of medicine, astronomy, and mathematics. And most of the texts that I've discussed today come from Assurbanipal's library.